God's grace is yours through Christ Jesus alone, and the peace of God is yours as you let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly. Let's pray. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in his temple. Lord, help us to see you here in your house and to listen to you. Amen. There was just so much to do. They were having company for dinner, and so you can picture them rushing around the house, setting plates and fluffing pillows and getting beds ready and making dinner and fetching water, and there were a flurry of activity. You can picture it. What kind of house are you imagining? If you recall that today's gospel lesson was about Mary and Martha, then maybe you're picturing their home as they prepared busy to serve Jesus. But maybe you're remembering that it is our day to celebrate the mission work that's going on in Vietnam, and so maybe you're imagining a Hmong household where they're busy preparing for missionaries and special guests who are visiting to teach them God's word. Or maybe, if you're picturing a busy getting ready for dinner, you have in mind your house, which is busy getting ready for all sorts of stuff. American Christians are very busy people. I found out this week that there are over 130 different countries which have laws on the books which limit the number of hours people can work. But guess which country's not on that list? USA, right? Americans work as many hours as any other nation that's been industrialized. We work hard, and so life is busy. But it's not just work that pulls at your schedule, right? Your time spent volunteering, that takes time. If you've got children who are involved in anything, you know, or grandkids even, how many hours that's going to take out of your schedule. Plus, you're supposed to stay healthy, so you got to get to the gym or go running or something to take up some more time. And then we're supposed to be social, so you got dinner dates and social events. And before long, by the time you get to dinner, it might be busy rushing around. If you imagined this kind of scene at your house, you're not alone. American Christians, they understand what's going on in the story of Mary and Martha. And what's really cool about this story is that for people like us who have full schedules, Jesus comes in this story and he speaks a word to busy Christians. And he shows us the most important thing a Christian can do. Of all the ways we could serve Jesus, of all the ways we could spend our time, of all the ways we could give him glory, the most important thing a Christian can do. And when Jesus stopped at the house of Mary and Martha, they were about to have some huge challenges to their faith. In 2 months, their brother Lazarus would die, and they'd be standing at his funeral. And then right after that, they would see their good friend Jesus be arrested, and this one who they looked up to for so long would be beaten and executed. And they had no idea what was coming. But Jesus knew. Jesus always knows what's coming. And so Jesus stopped at their house to prepare their hearts for the challenges that lie ahead. And he did that by showing them the most important thing a Christian can do. That's our theme for today. I'm going to read to you the story of the true story of when Jesus stopped at their house, but the most important part comes at the end. So when we get to the words of Jesus, I want you to read them with me. They'll be underlined and bolded for you. From Luke chapter 10, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Those words of Jesus are the essential part of this lesson. But almost every time I see this painted or pictured, it focuses on Mary and Martha and the different things they're doing. So let's first just take a look at those two characters, and particularly a misunderstanding we might have about those two. First with Mary. Mary, in this story, is doing what you see in this picture, listening to Jesus. But Martha, on the other hand, is rushing around, filling up pitchers and getting plates ready and working. And because we live in a culture that so prizes hard work and is so busy, we have been culturally conditioned to have a certain response to people who are just sitting around. If you were thinking of an American criticism of Mary, are you thinking of the same criticism I am, that she's a little lazy? But of course, that's a misunderstanding. That's not quite right, because if Mary was being lazy, Jesus would have no problem correcting her about that. God has always wanted his people to work and to work hard. In fact, the very first person in the world, Adam, when God made him, he put him to work. He said, this is from the first book of the Bible, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." And in fact, in this story, if you looked closely at the Greek text, you'd notice that it's not just Martha who opened her home, but Mary also opened her home to Jesus. She wasn't just sitting around. She was working too. And it becomes clear that Mary's not lazy. But Mary made a choice to listen. And Jesus said that that was an excellent choice. Which leads us to the other misunderstanding we might have about Martha. If you don't think that Mary's the lazy one and Martha's the hardworking one, then some people think, well, Mary loved Jesus so much, but Martha just cared about the meal. She didn't really love Jesus that much. But that's a misunderstanding too. You see, Mary listened to Jesus because she loved him, and Martha served Jesus because she loved him. There was nothing wrong with the service that Martha was offering. There was nothing wrong with the thing she was doing. In fact, Jesus has high praise for people who do service. He said this, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." That's exactly what Martha was doing. She was putting Jesus' words into action by serving him. And she knew just how hard Jesus' life was. Jesus was a homeless man. Remember, he described his life like this, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Martha knew that. Can you imagine if that was your loved one? If somebody you cared about deeply had lost their home and was wandering from village to village looking for a place to stay, and then you hear that they're in town, what are you going to do? Prepare a bed and make a meal and invite them in and do all the things that Martha was doing. She was putting Jesus' words into practice because she loved him. Mary loved him, Martha loved him, but here's the critical thing about this story. Love doesn't always lead to the right actions. Just loving someone doesn't always lead to the right actions. And so you see this in the John Steinbeck story he wrote of Mice and Men. And the character in that story who's got the biggest heart, who loves the most, and who is all full of love, his name is Lenny Small. And he loves these little animals that he finds. And so he picks them up and he pets them and pets them and pets them until they die. A lot of love, but he didn't understand what he was supposed to do. And so his actions led to more harm than good. Maybe you've seen this in real life. Maybe you're thinking of a parent who loves their child so much that they're never going to discipline them. They end up doing more harm than good. Well, Martha loved Jesus. Her heart was full of love, but she had a misunderstanding. See, Martha thought that the number one thing, the most important thing about her walk with Jesus was what she could do for him. She thought, what I can do for Jesus is more important than what Jesus can do for me. And because she had that misunderstanding, it totally messed with her mind. She was walking around with all this pressure that if today was going to be a success, it was because she was going to do enough to make it a success. If she was going to be a good disciple of Jesus, it was going to be because she put in the work. It put so much pressure on her. That word in the text, it said Martha was distracted. It comes from the same word that means you are pulled in lots of different directions. Maybe you've felt that. You're pulled to work extra hours, but you're also pulled to volunteer a little. You're also pulled to be at home, and you're pulled to make it to all your appointments on time, and you're pulled to visit the doctor. And that's where we get our English expression, being stretched too thin, right? If we ever have this attitude of Martha, that our life with Jesus is all about what we can do to serve him, we are going to get stretched so thin that we snap. But look how gentle Jesus is when he talks to distracted people. Martha, Martha. If you read through your Bible and noticed all the times God says someone's name twice, you know what you'll always notice? Right after he says their name twice, he changes their life. So watch out, Martha. Martha, Martha, Jesus is about to change your life. You are worried and upset about many things, all those different directions. And Jesus understands. Look, there is a lot on your plate. Jesus says to busy followers, there is a lot to do, and it is a lot to keep track of, and you do get pulled in too many directions at once, but only one thing is needed. See, Jesus knew that before too long, Martha would be standing at her brother's grave. And I don't know what Jesus was thinking, but boy, Martha, when you're standing at Lazarus's grave, you're not going to need a clean house or a full pantry. You're going to need the thing that only Jesus can give. You're going to need to know that, like we need to know, our hectic and haphazard lives have been replaced by Jesus' perfect life. And that guilt we feel when we drop the ball on one of our commitments, that punishment we know we deserve for not being perfect, that has been taken care of by Jesus when he died on the cross. We need to know that we will not be judged based on how well we serve Jesus. No, we will be judged based on how well Jesus serves us. And that is perfect. There's only one place you can find what you need for your daily life and for your spiritual challenges. It's from Jesus. That's why the most important thing a Christian can do is listen to Jesus. But we live in this culture that is obsessed with hard work, and our brains are hardwired to think first of all the things we can do and all the work we can put in. So the real challenge before us today is, how do we listen like Mary in a Martha world? Well, the good news is you've already taken a great step forward in that battle this morning, right? You could be putting in more hours right now. You could be out to eat right now. You could be golfing on a beautiful summer morning. You could be doing all sorts of things, but you're here, listening to Jesus, receiving forgiveness and eternal life that can never be taken away from you. You're here preparing for challenges that you don't even know are coming yet, because you're here getting the word of Jesus. And in your life, where you're balancing hard work and listening to Jesus, you're not alone. In fact, Christians all around the world listen to Jesus. I'm thinking of our friends in Vietnam, the Hmong believers who work very hard, often as subsistence farmers, often working in rice paddies. They work very hard, but they also listen to Jesus. You know, Pastor Lore, who is Sam's father, he's been doing mission work in Vietnam for a few years now, and he's met some amazing pastors who do this Mary and Martha thing, and he had some awesome stories to share. Here's Pastor Lore. He's on the left, and that's another associate of his on the right. He has this story to tell about a pastor named Fang. So Pastor Lore met Pastor Fang, and Pastor Fang said, My wife and I work so hard in our rice field to make sure that we can serve our families and we can serve the members of our church. And one time Pastor Fang told Pastor Lohr, I'm not rich, but I thank God that he gives me the strength to do the hard work in my field so I can support my family and all the work that God has entrusted to me. And then one day, after they had spent the morning training and studying God's word together, Pastor Fang brought Pastor Lohr a well-cooked chicken. And he set it down and he said, I'm quoting, Pastor, my wife and I want to thank you for sharing God's word with us. We have nothing to pay you with, so we brought you this chicken. Pastor Lohr said, I didn't know what to say, so I split the chicken with them and all the students ate it together. He said, that was the most memorable moment in my life, and I ate that chicken with tears in my heart. Now, there's a huge difference between Pastor Fang, who works hard all day and prepares a beautiful meal for his missionary, and Martha, who was scatterbrained in all these directions, right? It's because Pastor Fang knows that the most important thing is not his service, but it's all a result of how well Jesus has served him first. So we could, in our efforts to help the Christians in Vietnam, we could offer them more chickens, or we could offer to build them bigger houses, or we could offer to give them math and science education. But you know, that's not what they've asked us to help with. Because they know that the most important thing for a Christian is to listen to Jesus. So they've asked us where Wells and the Hmong Fellowship Church can join together to build a theological training center in Hanoi in Vietnam, where pastors from the Hmong culture can learn God's word better and take that so that more and more people in their congregations can listen to Jesus. I have no idea what the next challenge on the horizon for the Hmong church is, but we all know what the one thing they need to face that future is. They need to listen to Jesus. Today, we have an opportunity to help them with that. There is a box in the back that's available for donations, and our two-year-long mission commitment as a synod is to help that effort. I don't know what challenges will face you in your upcoming weeks and months, but we all know what you need to face the future. To listen to Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to listen to Jesus even more than you already are right now, because it's the most important thing a Christian can do. Today in your mailbox, and also just sitting in a box in the atrium, are these spiritual growth opportunity pamphlets. And they outline all the Bible studies that Mount Olive will offer in September, starting in September. There are Doctrine 101 classes, the Bible 101 classes taught by Pastor Prevey. It's a great review of basic Christian doctrine, or a great starting point for people who haven't done a lot of Bible study. There's a study on predestination, which is like on the opposite end of the spectrum, diving deep into an intense doctrine of God's word with Pastor Rosh. There's a study of famous Psalms called Pray, Praise, and Give Thanks. There's a study of Hebrews that meets on Wednesday morning where we go slowly through the scriptures one verse at a time. There are life groups where families meet together in their homes throughout the week. You can start one on your own, or you can join a group of friends who already do it. There's many more. There's Bible studies for men. There's Bible studies for women, ones that meet early in the morning and late at night and every day of the week. My challenge for you is to pick a Bible study today from this sheet or this screen and commit to listening to Jesus even more than you already do. If you've already got your Bible study on lockdown, or you can't make it to any of these Bible studies, then maybe your listening to Jesus challenge is for you to sit down with an open Bible for 10 minutes to get in the mindset of Mary and receive from your Savior the thing that no one can ever take away from you, to receive eternal life. I gotta tell you how the story of Mary continues, the next chapter in her story, because 2 months after Jesus visited, her brother did die. And she did stand at the graveside of her brother. And the Bible is very explicit about this. Many Jewish people from Jerusalem came to her house that day. So there's a huge crowd again, and there's many meals to make and many beds to prepare and many buckets of water to fetch. And Martha was at it again. She was running around preparing and preparing and serving and serving and serving. And then someone came in and said, Jesus is on his way. you know what Martha did? She dropped it all. She knew that whatever she was doing, it wasn't as important as listening to Jesus. And she walked out and met Jesus, who said to her, right after her brother had died, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Jesus looked at her and said, "Do you believe this?" It was a challenge of her faith. Martha said, "Yes, Lord." She knew that the most important thing was listening to Jesus. And she was proved right when Jesus raised her brother from the dead. I don't know what your work-life balance is right now, and I think it's great if you are working hard and playing hard and filling up your schedule, but let there always be an also in your life, that you work hard and also listen to Jesus. It's the most important thing a Christian can do. Amen.